My favorite 308 load, a preview of the Kinetic Research Group Bravo chassis, and our new camera setup this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and for those of you guys watching us on YouTube, you may notice things are a little bit different, and that's because we are filming from inside the office today. I decided to bring you guys into where I normally edit and actually produce the show. There are two reasons for that. First of all, the shop is an absolute disaster because I've got a couple of projects going on in there right now. Second of all is we are actually filming this on a brand new camera setup. This is a Canon EOS 80D. And we have it set up with a 30mm lens that gives us a really shallow depth of field, a really cool look, if in my opinion. And a couple of other things that make this a really quick, easy to set up kind of rig. It also has a really sensitive sensor in it, so it works better in low light conditions. I don't have to be as careful about making sure that I have lights set up like we do in the studio. So all in all, this is kind of just a trial run to see how this works on a regular Mail Call Mondays before I roll it out on some of our bigger projects. And again, I want to thank you guys because equipment like this is really expensive. We don't get any price break on it because we're just a regular customer like everybody else. So we need your help to be able to fund this kind of camera equipment to bring out the kind of quality show that we do. Our camera equipment runs down from time to time. It gets beat on, it gets constantly used, it gets drug out into the field. So the stuff does wear out. Plus, this is a autofocus setup. Right now, I actually have it set on autofocus. So you guys will notice that if I actually step into the camera here and talk to you a little bit closer, then the rig pulls focus on its own. And if I step back out, it pulls focus back out as well. So I don't actually have to have a camera op behind the camera doing this thing. It does it on its own. So pretty cool rig. That's why we are set up here in the office and why things look the way they do. But I'm sure you guys didn't tune into the show to learn about the camera system. You tuned in to hear us answer some questions. So our first question comes from Andrew on Patreon. And Andrew asks, for shooting 308 at 1,000 yards, what grain bullet do you suggest? I was looking at either the 178 AMAX ELD or the 208 grain AMAX ELD. I would like to keep this supersonic till about 1,000 yards. Also, what powder do you suggest to use? I was looking at Reloader 17 and Varget. Last part of the question, would a suppressor help to add a little more velocity to help keep it from going transonic before 1,000 yards? Well, Andrew, thank you very much for your question. There are a couple of things. First of all, keeping it supersonic to 1,000 yards is going to depend upon where you live, how long your barrel is, and how hard you're pushing those loads. Generally, you're going to get 168 and 178 class bullets dropping subsonic right around that 1,000-yard mark. Sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little less, again, depending on barrel length and how hard you're running the bullet. Now, my favorite bullet for this kind of shooting, just a general purpose 308 cartridge, is the 175 Sierra Match King or the 178 ELD. Those two will work very well. They give you a good ballistic coefficient. They give you a good value for the performance that you're getting. Now, powder, Varget and Reloader 15 kind of go back and back as far as the speeds and the pressure levels that you get. I will generally run Reloader 15 right now because I still have a good stock of it on hand. When that runs out, then I'll look at what is most available and what the prices are between Varget and Reloader 15 before I decide to order. My normal load, the load that I can just throw together and put in just about any 308 rifle, is a 175 grain Sierra Match King with 43 grains of Reloader 15 in a Federal case with a Federal Gold Medal Match primer. Now you can switch between Gold Medal Match and CCI BR2 primers in there and still be in the same pressure levels. You don't have to do some crazy drop down and work back up. But if you start to get outside of that, I would definitely recommend that you drop the charge down 10% and work back up and look for pressure signs. Now 43 grains of Reloader 15 is a relatively low pressure load. And it is about equivalent to Federal Gold Medal Match or Black Hills Match or a lot of the other 308 match loads out there. It's just a really good all-around load, and with the 175 or 178 grain ELD bullets, they are a 1,000-yard capable load. That bullet will make the transonic passage fairly stable, and you're not going to get it tumbling like you would with a 168 Match King. Now, if you are really wanting to stay supersonic to 1,000 yards, that's when you're going to need to switch over and look at things like the 155 grain Lapua Sinar. If you run that bullet considerably faster, then you may be able to stay supersonic past 1,000 yards, and then you're going to get a little bit better performance there. But you're going to have to run that bullet fast to get good performance out of it. The flip side of it, if you go up to the 208 class bullets, you're going to be running a lot slower, again, depending upon the barrel length that you have, but you may still get fairly good performance because you're running a higher ballistic coefficient, and those bullets are going to buck the wind a little bit better. It's a heavier bullet. So what you'll need to do in that case is just get into the ballistic calculator and start plugging things in. There are really too many variables. I would say buy some of the 208s, buy some of the 175s, buy some of the 178s, and just kind of work up what you want. Shoot them across a chronograph and see what kind of speed you're getting, and then that will give you the ability to plug that into a ballistic calculator, because you may see what I did before playing with 208s is that if you're limited in barrel length, if you're running, say, a 20-inch barrel, then you can't pack enough powder in the case. And I was running, I believe it was Reloader 17 I was working with at the time with those 208s. I couldn't pack enough powder in the case to really get enough speed out of that bullet to make it worthwhile in the short barrel. Now, if you go up to a 24 or 26 inch barrel, now you can start getting more speed out of those bullets, and you can get a little bit more performance out of them. So it's going to be a little bit of an experimenting game if you want to go outside the norm. But if you want to stick with those 175s and 178s, then start out with Reloader 17. About that 43 grain mark will be a good place if you just want to throw a load together and go. If you want to get more performance, then you can start working up to those higher charge weights and see what kind of speed you can get out of them before you start seeing pressure. However, I definitely recommend you don't run on the ragged edge. We're getting into the winter months here. It's pretty much cooler around the country than it would be in the summer months. So if you work up a hot load during the winter, you're going to have to be very careful as temperatures warm up and we start to move around to the summer that you're not jumping into pressure signs, that you don't have problems with that load when the weather warms up. So that is my recommendation on that question. I haven't experimented with a wide range of powders in the 308 because I tend to find one that works. I look at 308 as kind of the pickup truck cartridge. It's the utility cartridge. It's the one that I want to do all things equally well, that I don't want to really run a ragged edge cartridge and then have that load only work in one gun, and then I have to have a separate load for another gun. I like to be able to work up ammunition that works in a wide variety of 308s because we do have quite a few different 308s on hand here. So that is just my view. However, again, I'll always ask you guys, the viewers, what have you found to be a really good general purpose load? What bullets have you found to be great performers for you in the 308? I tend to stick with the tried and true, but there are new bullets coming out all the time. For instance, I have not tried any of the new 30 caliber Nelsler RDFs. There are guys that are getting some good results with those. But if you guys have tried those, please leave a comment for me down below. Tell me what your favorite bullet is, what your favorite powder is for 308, and why, so we can get a little bit broader experience level here. Now, to answer the last part of your question about if a suppressor will increase velocity, no, suppressors really don't increase velocity. Now, there is a concept out there called freebore boost, and that is the idea that the length of the suppressor, since that is pressurized by the gases of the bullet passing through, that that can give some muzzle velocity boost, much like extra barrel length would give. but it really doesn't quite work that way. It's not the same. If you have a 6-inch suppressor, it's not the same velocity increase as you would have if you had 6 inches of barrel. And generally, the difference between freebore boost is generally within the standard deviation of the ammunition that you're shooting. So you can't count on a suppressor actually adding velocity. You also get into the minutia of what the bore diameter of the suppressor is. Are you using a 30 caliber suppressor on a 6.5 bore or 6mm bore? Then you would theoretically get less freebore boost than you would if you were using a tight 30 caliber suppressor on a 30 caliber rifle. So don't count on suppressors to increase muzzle velocity, but suppressors definitely do not decrease muzzle velocity. So in the end, you can just pretty much factor them as no effect on muzzle velocity, and that's the safe bet. Now I want to talk about the Kinetic Research Group Bravo chassis, and this is the Bravo chassis right here. This is really a very interesting chassis system. As you can see, we don't have it actually mounted on a rifle quite yet. We just got our test rig taken apart. This will be going on probably a little bit later today, and we'll get it out to the range. There's probably gonna be a range day tomorrow where we take it out and test it out. But this is a really interesting product for guys that want that traditional stock feel, but want a chassis system. So you really get all the benefits of a chassis system. You get your adjustable comb, you get a adjustable length of pull, and that comes with the spacer stack that comes with the stock, so you can add length of pull. The comb is just a thumb wheel here that allows you to adjust it wherever you want it and then drop it down so you can get to the bore to clean it. When we come forward, we've got M-lock interface up here, so if you need to put rails on the side, you certainly can. You have holes in M-lock across the bottom. You have one sling stud here, and it is contoured to really work well with a Harris bipod. So if you do run a Harris bipod, then you can get it on there, and the sides are contoured to help alleviate some of that twisting that you can get when you mount a Harris on a flat surface. I do like the mag fence. This was showing up on some of the other versions of the Whiskey 3 chassis. So you got a mag fence here so you can run it up against a barricade and not have the barricade actually against your magazine. It does take AICS magazines, and overall I think this is a really, really neat design. They also have a spigot mount in the end here. So they have a spigot accessory. If you want to move your bipod a little bit further out, then you can use the spigot accessory, move it out. Now, one of the really neat things about the Bravo chassis is some of the configurations you can get into, but they have this little trap door here on the bottom, and they're going to sell an accessory piece that you can unbolt this part here, drop the accessory in, and that will turn this into a kind of a thumb notch or a butt hook. So that you can get your hand up in there and grip onto it and drive that stock back into your shoulder if you wish. So kind of a really, really cool design to be able to configure. Also, you have spots on the back here where you can put a rail if you want to run a monopod back here. And then one last little thing I thought was kind of cool. There's a little trap door here. Now, you do have to remove an Allen key to get to it, but you got a trap door so you could put a little oil bottle or whatever you want down here in the pistol grip. It's pretty shallow, but you still have room to stash stuff if you really want to. I have no idea what I would stash in there, but it's a pretty cool setup overall. The key to this is the aluminum backbone that you have here, and this is what makes it a chassis instead of just a polymer stock. And the aluminum backbone really has a V-block bedding system, so you should be able to just mount your action right into this, bolt it down and be good to go and not have to worry about any bedding or any craziness there. So overall, the Bravo chassis looks like a really cool setup. We'll get it all bolted up, we'll get it out to the range, and we'll play with it. And I'm really, really anxious to see how well this works. It feels just really nice. The grip has a nice palm swell here. It has that nice vertical section, and then you do have your ramps up here so you can get your thumb up there to operate the bolt. So when we get it bolted up, we're going to get out to the range, get some footage, And really excited to let you guys know how we feel about the Bravo chassis. So when it does go on sale, you know if it's something that's going to work for you or not. So if you have any questions or comments on the Bravo chassis, please leave them in the comments section below. If you're listening to us on our podcast, you can send it to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. And that overall is it for this Mail Call Mondays. I want to make sure you guys understand that we are now on full30.com, so make sure you pop over to Full30 and check us out. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. If you have any questions or comments for anything that we've covered on Mail Call Mondays, please leave them in the comments section below. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast, you can send those questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. And until next time, get out and shoot.